We left Colin. He's usually here.
Okay.
Oh, we left off in 2 Samuel, chapter. It's right at the end of chapter 5. And we find out in chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, in verse, I believe we are right at verse 19 or 20.
Chapter 5.
2 Samuel chapter 5. And we know that David, he's pretty much on his way now to reigning in over all of Israel.
What's
so,
the verse?
We're going to start at verse 17. You know what? Actually, let's start at verse 11.
Okay.
And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Now all the suffering that David had gone through, all the running, all the hiding from Saul, and when the Lord had finally removed Saul, he began to establish David. And David now, you notice that he's doing all the right things. We didn't look at it last week, but he began to, we may call it politician type behavior, but he began to, when he won battles, he would share the spoil with others, with the others. And they began to, everybody liked David in to begin with, but that put him over the top. Even his adversaries began to side with him. Right. Right. And he's helping him. He wants to help David build a house. Now that's influence. Now whether he wants to do that so he won't be exterminated, it doesn't really say. But David, verse 12, David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Now, even with that, do remember, what did they do to deserve this? Israel. What did they do to deserve what they're, well, they're, what they're getting ready to get? Number one, they asked for a king.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want God to reign over them. They were on the way down as far as spiritual conviction or spiritual, their spiritual commitment to God, it was on the way down. That's why the judges, that's why they had begun to be taken into captive. That's why they had begun to be punished by the Lord for their disobedience. That's why they began to partake in idolatry. But the Lord in his grace raised up David. And he's through David, he's going to restore Israel back to the time like they were in Joshua's days. This is totally against what they deserve. And that's the key. That's the point, is what the lesson that God has given them is that he's being, like he told Moses, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious to. He's being gracious to them in spite of them. Kind of like he does us. It's like, what, you know, what have we done so well or so good in God's sight that, number one, that we can sit here and even open his word up? Nothing. One thing this week, not just today, one thing this week where you can go to God and say, I bet you like that.
No.
Nothing. Nothing. But little things that we even take for granted. We wake up. We may hurt a little. But we, you know what? We get in the car and You go to work, work 8, 9, 10, 11 hours, get off, come over here, nothing happened, feeling okay for the most part. You get to go home, assuming we make it home. We go home, we open up our houses. Maybe you got the air on waiting for you. You can cut it on. You open it up. Right. Get you something cold to drink. You sit down on your couch. You cut your TV on.
Hot shower.
And you eat your food. And all that has got nothing to do with spiritual blessings. That's just, and the heathen can do that. But he can't go home and say, I got a first-hand relationship with the God of heaven. And it's in spite of me. It's because of his son. And what Israel is getting here, it's in spite of them. Even David. It's in spite of David. Is it not? But he's... David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, Ibhar also, and Elishu, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. So David had, we always think of Solomon and Absalom, but he had more children than that. But what I see is this. The scriptures said to the kings that they shouldn't multiply wives or horses. And here, what's he doing? Well, he and Solomon did the same thing. But and that's what's interesting is here's a man, he said, this man is a man after my own heart. And yet the Lord allows him to be himself. He's clearly disobeying. He's disobedient. Because what happens when you do that, when you multiply wives and you multiply horses, it's just like they said back here. Let's make a name for, he just said in the previous verse, I perceive that the Lord has established me. What's this all about? What's the wives about and the concubines?
Power into his head.
That's what, fortunately though, when you read on, you'll find that David, he didn't quite get there. But, and multiply horses is saying that, you know, I can do it on my own also. I can make a name for myself, and I can protect myself on my own.
That's why I got in so much trouble over the census.
That's why, right. He said, don't count them. That's pride. If the Lord gave you the people, why are you counting them? Which is, I agree with that. Where they says, they preach the message and they says, well, do we have a candidate for baptism? Don't be shy now. Come on down.
Don't be ashamed.
Anybody? Don't be ashamed of the Lord, right? If you deny him, he will deny you. And, you know, all the little tricks to get you down. And because he wants to say,
he wants to glory in that flesh.
We baptize 6 of them today. And it goes to his account. But man ponder, he looks on the outward appearance, but God pondereth the heart. You can't tell if that man made a heart transaction.
Right.
Just, I think Ed, you're talking about Billy Graham, where he was on TV, where he would preach to those multitudes, and you see all those people come forward. They come down, but you don't know. You don't know what their state, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they feel.
You don't know how many times they've walked in.
You don't know how many times, right. And he says it, he'll do his, and it could be powerful. And there are some that may have genuine heart transaction.
Sure.
But no doubt there's some. You know,
caught up in the emotion of it.
Hold your hand there. Look at John 6. John chapter 6, verse 60.
Well, John had a lot to say there.
What's yeah, in that chapter. And the Lord's, he had just told the Pharisees that I'm the bread of life, and you have to eat me, and you have to drink my blood. And in verse 58, he says this, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So when the Lord was doing his miracles and he gave his speech, and then they said, "Wow, that's heavy. How can we get that?" And he says, "Some of you don't believe." They followed him. You know why they followed him? For the miracles. When you read on, they'll say that they followed him for what he was doing. You think all these people go to these stadiums for the gospel? No way. Some of these people don't even go to these little assemblies for the right reason. You know, it's usher day. It's cook in the kitchen day. Yeah, I got to count to Monday today. It's my preaching day. It's my Sunday school day. Huh? Don't think they all come and say, "I want to hear the word of the Lord today." Because if it ain't your day to usher, then you might not show up. And when every time he preaches, you don't think all those people are being converted or even receiving the teaching. He says here, "No man can come except my Father give it to him." And they, you know what? They said, forget it then. Here you go. "You can't understand the scripture unless the Holy Spirit open your understanding." So how many people you think, if they hear that, they say, "You know why you don't understand the Bible? Because you don't give it enough time for the Holy Spirit to work." So people say, "Well, forget it. If I have to read to understand it, I don't want to read." Do you think that happens?
Sure.
You know what they want to do? "Ed, tell me what you got out of that." They want to tell me. Just tell me. They don't want to do the legwork. They don't think it's God wants to talk to you. Third person Christianity. You know, when I met my wife, I didn't want to be told about her. Right? When you met Annette, you didn't want her sister to say, "Tell me all about her." You want to say, "Hey, ask her when I can take her out. When I can pick her up and take her out. I want to know more about her." You want an intimate relationship. Same way with the Lord.
What's that?
God does too.
God does too, right. So David, even though he's a man after God's own heart, God still allows him to function in the flesh and do what he does. And he takes these wives, verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David, back in Samuel, 2 Samuel 5:19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Now you think now, remember a couple of weeks ago when David was, he was ready to fight with them. Do you remember that?
Right.
And they said, "Don't do it," because he might change his mind. He just changed his mind. Now, he going from ready to fight with them. The Lord gives him Israel, the kingdom. Now he's ready to fight against them. See how? And you hear people say, man doesn't have free will. You hear David's waffling like fish out of water. He doesn't know. I don't. Seemed like the Lord would have came down and said, "Why are you siding with the Philistines?" But he did. And he was ready to go up, and who knows what would have happened. Didn't you, Ed, just, you said, there's some things where we talked about last week, there's some things God allowed Paul to do. He allowed him to baptize. Because he didn't get it all at one time. God allowed him to baptize. He allowed him to go into that temple and go so far. God allowed David to join the Philistines. He allowed him to mount that horse. He allowed him to get in that pack. And who knows what happened after that? It's all speculation. Maybe the Lord moved the king to say, "You can't go with us, David." But the scripture doesn't say that. So, he said, verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Go up." Verse 20, and David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. You know what's interesting? The Rephaim is giants. That's the word for the giants. I just thought about that when we were been talking about that.
Where are we at exactly?
Verse 20. 2 Samuel, verse 20.
Chapter 5, verse
23. I'm sorry. Yes, 2 Samuel, chapter 5.
Chapter
5. Verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that when thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Now, whatever happened here, the Lord gave him a sign. And what I like is that scripture always throws those little tidbits in there for us. He says, and David inquired. And David inquired of the Lord. I like that. You know, Saul did things and he didn't do that. Joshua did this. He says, they made a league with those people, and the scripture said they didn't seek the counsel of God. Now, we don't have Urim and Thummim and Ephods, but we got the scriptures. Better just as good as the ephod, right? Because sometimes he won't answer you with the ephod, but this, you always get an answer. And I know there's times where, even now, I don't inquire, Lord, what should I do? Or look for the answer through here. I just do it.
That's what I was going to say. Most of my inquiring for a long time was after I did it, and it was inquiring about how I was going to get out of it.
Right, how? When the bargain come in. Yeah. Lord, if you get me out of this,
yeah.
I'll never do it again. Right. That's but David inquired, and you know, it's funny. I was reading that even the word ephod is, let me get back here. If you ever, this will be a treat to you. This will really be a treat. If you have the discipline enough to do it, get you a good, like a Hebrew lexicon, and look up those words, and because you think about, if the Lord had one religion, right? It was the Jewish religion. Like Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion. That's all he had. He had one religion. That's it. And those people spoke Hebrew, right? That is one of the, besides, you have other older languages, but that language started off, and they used pictures instead of words. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. They used pictures. And those, every letter, behind every letter was a picture. And that picture explained things. So you take those letters, and you put them, well, they went from left to right. And you put, like, ephod, for example. E-P-H-O-D. Right? You got E, which is Aleph. It's like the beginning with God. P, which is pay, P-E-Y, which means mouth. Yod, which is Y-O-D. Which is, can't think of what it was. Anyway, I might come to me. And D, which is Daleth, D-A-L-E-T-H. Sometimes it's with an H too. And when you get those pictures behind, D is it's a door. Daleth is a door. And I can't think of Yod, but it might come back to me. Pay is mouth. Aleph is for God, and it was an ox, strength. And you look at that, and you put it all together, and it's God's mouth, the strength of God's word. Whatever Yod is, it'll come back to me. Maybe it will, to open a door. That's why they wore the ephod, and they go in and they look for insight. That's what they say. What should I do, God? I need to hear from you. Open the door for me. And they go in, and David inquired. That's why it's so important. He said, and David inquired. And what he says, Abiathar, he says, bring me the ephod. He says, I need to know what to do. But we just read through it, and we don't get the significance of it. We're just as good as David. I say it. Man should not live by bread alone, but by some of them. Most of them.
Every.
You come. We read through here, and it's, you ever read Chronicles? That's a sedative, as you would. But he put it there. And we can't lightly esteem it. That's what I wanted to apologize for you, because when you first talked about that, in my mind, I said, we're not going to get anywhere with that. Because I was thinking, you know, but it's God's word. Why should I smother your enthusiasm for it? Because I mean, I studied it, it's good to me, but it's still, there's a certain amount of speculation that's in it. But why would I quench her from what I feel or what I think? And when I began to look at it and think about it, I got even more excited. So I was going to tell you that last night, but I said, you know what? I'll save that because, you know, she wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking that way. That was for me. But I will. I'll say I'm sorry for doing that, because when I first thought of it, I didn't. My whole heart wasn't in it. But I'm in it now. I'm So anyway, chapter 6. And David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from there, thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the Lord, by the name of the Lord of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Now that's, if you look at Psalms and you see when he used that terminology, that is the Lord God of hosts, the armies, the possessor of heaven and earth, or the God of all the earth. So David's just, the scripture interjects this. So David's, he's out, the Lord's fighting for him now. So the Lord's back on track. He's back on his repossession. In spite of them, he's taking David and he's moving forward. He's got rid of Saul. And then look at verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and cymbals and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Wow. Isn't that something? Why did he die?
Because he violated the word of God.
Back in Numbers, they said only the priests were to transport the ark, but they weren't to touch it. They weren't supposed to put their hands on it. But here's a man, he had good intentions, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's getting ready to fall over, and he said, oh, catch it. And he caught it.
Exception for my good intentions.
Hey, what did he tell Saul? He said, obedience
is better than sacrifice.
We don't believe that now. We don't believe that, do we?
So doing what was right.
Was it? God was saying this. He said, I caught it because I didn't want it to fall over. And God is telling him, you should let it fall over. I told you not to touch it.
Right. In other words, God kind of thinks he can keep it from falling over.
Right.
Sure could.
Right. Right. Don't you think he can do that? But
spill out.
When you think about Saul, when he offered those sacrifices, and when Samuel came back, he said, I've done everything you asked me to do. And Samuel said, well, what's the bleeding? And you know what Saul said? He said, oh, those are the good ones. Didn't he? Yeah. He said, no, those are the good ones. I kept them.
God told him not to keep any, but he kept some. So he was called on. He said, yeah, but I just kept them.
Right. So you think we disobeyed, and that was any other time, it would have been pretty good, wouldn't it? Except it's not what God told him to do. Now, the only reason I'm thinking about this is because we do things with other people. In particular, we just had some company, and they said, let's go to the casino. Which, God, I'm not a gambler. So, and I'm not a smoker, nor a drinker. So, in certain environments, I really don't like to be in. And they said, oh, you too good to go to the casino? And I said, that's not the point. The point is, I'm not comfortable being there. And if I didn't want to do it, then it was to sacrifice for them and go against my own conscience. Which one is better?
Well, you could have went down there and ate.
You just missed the point.
I went down there. And but anyway, but what I'm saying is this: we often go places and do things with people for keeping the peace.
Right.
So we don't want to seem too holy.
But not God's peace.
They just have advertised something on TV, and this is all little stuff, where now they're having church service in a bar on Sunday. You see that on the news? You see that? You saw? And they said, well, we're not serving liquor. You telling me you're going to go in a bar, it's the people who drink, and you're not going to sit down and say, you know, just give me one.
Actually, I think on Sunday mornings, you can't serve liquor by the drink unless they change that.
You should bring your own bottle.
Anyway, but we often sacrifice.
Right.
And the sacrifice is at the expense of God's word.
Yes.
It's not because of something that we give up. It's something that we take from him.
But in the church, wherever the people are, does it matter where they hold service?
Actually, it doesn't. That's why I said those are little things, just incidental things. So, but anyway, verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him therefore for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Do you want to? You got a comment? Ed? Well, you can ask for her on her behalf.
That's our answer.
Come on, we share it with us.
Right.
That's the question.
We are. This is for edification, right?
We are a body.
let's see if I can muster it back out.
So Paul is talking about legal questions, and that if a certain thing to them was a sin, then we shouldn't do it.
Right. If their conscience wasn't settled on the matter.
Right.
Yeah, he used that in a couple of instances with meat in Romans 13 and with meat again and idols in 1 Corinthians.
Well, I have a real problem with feeling like I have to do something to keep the peace when it's not something I want to do, like the situation with you. We went to meet friends at the casino that I had known in Mexico. We came up to the casinos and said, we want to see you come meet us. It was a horrible place. I didn't have a good time. Why did I go? Why can't I stand up and say, sorry, I'd love to see you, if we can meet another place.
Right.
But I have a problem with it, and I don't want to have a problem with it. I want to be able to say no. Not rudely, but I want to be able to say no.
Right.
Just say no.
Well, you know what? And that's the very point. Of such meet where?
Why don't we meet at such and such a place?
Yeah. Right. Or even this. Say, why don't you come to service with me Sunday? Why does it always have to be what they want and not on the other? What's more beneficial, for you to go over there or for them to hear the word of God? But that's what my point was, is we sacrifice, but it's always at the expense of God's. It's most times it's at the expense of what he wants,
exactly,
not what the people want.
So what, does God care whether you go to the casino and have a meal and eat friends? Does he care?
Well, he doesn't care, but her point was is that she didn't feel
she
comfortable
didn't want to
there.
Do it. I understand that.
But I violated my own conscience by saying, okay.
But does God care?
If is there a law saying that you should not gamble?
Sinful?
Because that's a lot. Why a lot?
You don't have to gamble. I've been there many times and just eat.
All right. Look at Romans 13. Since you went down the road, look at Romans. And it boils down to an issue of sonship. That is, you are grown in Christ. Did you know that? You know that. We are all grown in Christ. And a lot of times we don't feel like it. So if we don't feel like it, we don't act like it. And Romans 14. And when I started off, I said, these are all incidentals, right? Verse 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, criticize ye. What did he say?
Receive
ye, but not to doubtful disputations. That is, you know what? Don't beat them up. Don't judge them. Don't beat them up over the matter. Receive him. Today is Sunday. Frank, you want to go have a drink? Or you asking me? I'm asking you. I'm the weak brother. You're the strong brother. And I say, you want to go have a drink?
I'll see what God has to say about that.
But we don't say, you're not supposed to do that. Because the truth of the matter is, you can do it in moderation. All things are lawful.
But not
all things are not
expedient. I think they drank wine.
Expedient.
Didn't they drink wine?
I don't think he's... All things are right.
Lawful.
You can do it.
No. But does God have an opinion on that?
He doesn't know the verse.
I didn't understand.
That's the...
You can do it. But we're not under the law.
What about the consequences?
But
right.
He's
saying
it's lawful.
It's lawful.
Right.
You're not under the
law. You can go gamble if you want. But he says not all things are expedient. Which means, for instance, that if you go and gamble, well, in this case, like with Annette, the friend we were meeting is a Christian friend. She belonged to our Bible study in Mexico.
Okay.
And she's coming up with her mother, right, and sister.
Mom wants to go gamble.
From Alabama, and they want to come up to Tunica to gamble. You know, so we meet her. Did we actually eat with her? We ate with her and stuff like that. So. I mean, you didn't like the place. I mean, the place stinks of cigarette smoke as soon
right.
as you walk in.
Yeah. Right.
And unfortunately, the food is way at the back, so you got to go across the whole area. But, I mean, in my... It hurt your conscience, maybe, but it didn't hurt my conscience because I knew that was the only way we were going to meet Cherry, you know, and she lives in Mexico, and we live up here, and that was our chance to get to see her.
But I was not... as relaxed as I might have been, had we not been there.
And a nicer environment.
Yeah.
And the point is, it was legal for her to go. And for me to go, there was nothing wrong with it because we're not...
Then why would you feel bad?
Because it violated her conscience.
She didn't like the atmosphere. She didn't like... She hates cigarettes.
Have you ever been there before?
Before
and
that
I
day?
No. And I have no desire to ever go again.
Pick out nicer casino.
Well, look at 14. He says,
not in the food place.
Verse 14, or chapter 14, he says, receive them, but not to doubtful disputations.
Right.
So Annette did that. She received her, and she didn't say, hey, you're saved. You're not supposed to go to the casino. That's not becoming. What if somebody saw you and says, isn't that the pastor's wife?
That sounds like a bastard.
Well, but most people, they're not grown up. They're still on the baby level. So every little thing that they find in you, it may stumble. They may stumble over that. But she received her, and she didn't dispute about it. And they went in. But the thing is, her, look at verse 22. We're just going to skip the... Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And that's what she did. She condemned herself in the thing that she allowed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what she did, even though she knew that it was okay, she violated her own conscience. Because she says, I know I can do it, but I don't want to do it. And she did it anyway because somebody else, she allowed somebody else to dictate her behavior.
Yes.
And God wants you to function as a son. He wants you to do it on your own. Don't let another man tell you how to live, to be your tutor and your governor.
Because it takes your liberty away.
That's exactly it. She gave it to him.
That's sort of like when he talks about falling from grace, because you're giving away that liberty that you have.
And that's the privilege we have is, you can say this, I don't see that right now, so I don't teach that. I don't believe that. And it could be right. But you allow a person to function as a son where they are when they're understanding in their relationship with God. You can say, well, and you know, my pastor in Detroit, he would do this all the time. He'd say things and you would not budge him, and it would be wrong. And he says, I don't care what you say. I don't see it like that. And I'm standing right here. You don't let people move you, waffle you like that. Because if he says, yeah, I see that, and he doesn't see that, what is it? It becomes a stumbling block to him. He's not operating in faith. So she went there, and all the while, you think she's having fun? Because her mind is saying, what are you doing here? You're miserable here.
What you're saying is follow your conscience.
And you know what I was doing when I went there? I was walking around. I was like, be glad when they get finished. Be glad when they get through. Man, it stinks in here. It's like, same thing. I'm like, I'm going to go home smelling like cigarettes. So I can't wait to wash my hair. I'm all through the whole time.
Y'all should have been here together.
And they were saved. All of them. But I didn't say, you know, you all saved. You shouldn't even be in here. Which is little things. God don't care about you going to the casino. He cares about your testimony. And he knows that sometimes your testimony is faltered, or people stumble over you if they see you not adorning the doctrine. He said, we should, he said this, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Well, the casinos are appearances of evil, right?
Because people associate it. People make associations. That's when he said this. Look at verse 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be what? Where?
In his own mind.
Why would he say that? Because he said this, look. One man esteems the casino evil. One man esteems the casino okay. Which one is it? Is it okay or is it evil?
It's okay.
You know what he said in Titus? He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled, it's all defiled. He says, you look at it like this. Nothing wrong with the casino. You look over here and say, the casino's bad. And you take a guy that doesn't have the knowledge, he says, we're going to the casino. All right. And the other guy says, we're going to the casino. Oh, I don't think God is pleased with that. But I'm going to go because everybody's going. And all, as soon as he pulls that door, puts his foot in there, guess what? It's wrong. Because he let you tell him what was right and wrong. And he didn't determine it from his own conviction.
So you two got this straight for next time.
And you know what? The thing that I did, which is, and I was fully persuaded in my mind that it didn't matter. I just didn't like it because I don't like cigarettes. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't smoke. And it was a waste of my time.
And it's the same with me. But I do do the things like that over and over again.
Do you think that your inability to speak up was for fear that to say that you would be, in a sense, saying, but you're, you know, the fact that you want to go there, it's a judgment on you?
No, I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well, that's what.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but no, I didn't. No, I don't say that a casino's bad. I just don't want to be there. They weren't bad for wanting to go there.
Yeah.
But I was not able to stand up and say, you know, I'm just getting uncomfortable there.
You know what?
And
we and you know what we did? We actually ended up, my wife and I ended up going back to the car and sitting in the car talking while they finished gambling.
Well, gambling's one thing when you
but,
go down there.
You don't have to gamble because you go eat. Or go
that's why they wanted to go. And that's why Jerry and me are
that's why they wanted to go. They wanted to gamble.
Right. But we didn't gamble with them. But we were. But it is, if you don't smoke and you're not used to it and you're in a real heavy smoke place like that was, it
was
really.
There's a ton of people that come on
and
right. Well, look at this, and we'll stop right there.
Okay, sorry.
He said this. I'm going to read this in 1 Corinthians 8. He says, now as touching, and these are, when I say incidentals, you can plug anything you want to in here because it's a question of liberty and conviction and sonship. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, 1 Corinthians 8, 1, we know. That's Paul talking. He says, we know. That was him and his people of like mind. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge what? Puffeth up. Makes you proud. But charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. That's why now, there was a time where I maybe would have been more dogmatic about things I believe. But you don't have a market on truth. So don't be so dogmatic about it. You say, well, this is my understanding right now. Because you may have to eat that pie. And he says, because what you're after is the man. You're not wanna, you don't want an argument. You want to win the man. Right? He says, charity builds up. Now, as concerning, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Verse 3. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed unto idols, we know that an idol is what?
Nothing.
Is nothing in the world. And that there is none other God but one. Well, you can't tell the Jews that. Not in this situation. If you get a Gentile, he says, man, I got some ribeye. Right out the temple. Best cut. And the Jew said, out of what? Out the temple. You talking about the idol temple? Yeah. So sale. And he Uh-uh. When Peter, last week, when he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Yeah. All unclean in there. Oh, no way. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Never ate anything common. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What I've cleansed don't call common. The meat didn't mean a thing. It's because God made a distinction and passed it on. Well, over here he says, there's no distinction. You eat anything you want to eat. So here's man. He says, we know now the item, it means nothing because there's only one God. He says, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So we know there's only one God, there's only one Lord, and we live and move, and we have our being in him. 7. How be it? There is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. He said, it doesn't matter. You said, I want to eat this and it's offered to idols. So what? And you say, well, I won't eat this because it's offered to idols. So what? The meat doesn't mean a thing. So you say, well, I won't go to the casino because of this. So what? That's your choice. And you say, well, I'm going to the casino because I might get rich. So whatever. It's up to you. But if you do it and your conscience is not convicted, it's not, if you're not fully aware of what's going on, then for you, it's a problem.
I don't think Annette has an issue with the conscience. She just doesn't want to say no because she's kind. And
right, so because charity. That's what Ed was saying. This, he went, you know what? That's the only time we're going to get to see her.
Yeah.
If I have to go in there, he didn't want to go there. He so wanted to see her.
He went. It was a charitable act that he went. For her, it was a violation. That's for conscience.
I didn't have you were sinning.
But I believe, you know, it's. But he says this, and we'll finish it up. By the way, that also goes for people that say, "Well, I'm fasting. I'm fasting for this. Or I'm fasting for that." God can look at it and say, so?
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to get closer to me by not eating, and you're not going to get farther away by eating.
Right.
He said, but you go ahead and do it. Whatever you're thinking about, you know. And he says, verse 9, this is the bottom line. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. That's the whole thing. Is you want to win people. You don't want to criticize them. You don't want to ridicule them. You don't want to mislead them. You don't want to influence them in a negative way. You want to build them up. You want to edify them. And if that means giving up something that you know is right, love will do that. Or it may mean doing something that you know is wrong. Paul said, he says, I gave it up. Do you know Paul? Did you know Paul knew circumcision didn't mean a thing? Why did he do it? Did you know he knew baptism didn't mean a thing?
But he became this for the baptism.
That he might build them up. Do you know he went in there and he says, one time he says, Timothy, I got to circumcise you. And then he goes to Titus. He says, Titus, it ain't happening today. So we going in and you stand. He said, not for an hour.
Stand
but one day you say, well, we'll go to the casino. But another day you might say, no, I don't want to go. But anyway, it's all growth. We'll do it again.
I was thinking as you were talking of the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those in the affliction, etc., etc. And it's like we've been shown grace, and now we have the opportunity to extend grace. Not that we're under the law to do or not do these things,
right,
but because we've been shown grace, well, I will, you know, do this or not do this as an extension of grace.
If we don't operate, we use that term, grace believer. And we're anything but gracers, grace believers. Am I right? We are. Well, I don't say we're not us, but the. I know people who are judgmental. They're critical. They're condescending.
In other words, grace is a one-way street.
Because I did it. He just said, "Knowledge puffeth up." And there was a time when I was ramping up. And it puffed you up. You say, man, we the only ones got this message. Wow, look at that. You baptize them? That's wrong. You know, and you go on and on, and the guy, and all of a sudden, you grow up. And then you say, wow, you know, I might have won the argument, but that guy, he will never talk to me again. And as soon as you walk in, you got the big stick in your hand.
Yeah.
Reese, what you doing? Oh, I'm paying my tithes. Wham! hit him with the tithe stick. The tithe stick, right. And you say, I got him. He used to tithe, he don't tithe anymore. But what you probably did, you probably defiled his conscience because he wasn't really convicted whether I should do it or not. He just did it because you showed him, we're a cheerful giver. And he says, oh, wow, okay. But if you just let him along in love and you show him little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, and said, this is why we don't do it. And he said, you don't even have to do that. You can just show him how to give, lay down the foundations of grace, and he'll ask you. Well, if that's for Israel, that means that Malachi 3:10 is, he said, hear it, O ye. But that's not for me, is it? He'll do it on his own. You don't have to meet him.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's right. Let's stop there. Let's pray.
You're saying they're in it for the money?
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that as we read, just little by little, that the things may come more and more clear to us, that it's not how much we know, it's how much you work in us and work through us. Lord, that's our aim, is to understand, to find out how you want to use us, not how we can win an argument or how much we can show how much we know. Lord, we want to do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We want to be used by you. We want to be magnified. We want to magnify you in our lives, whether by life or by death. And Lord, we pray that as we read and study, that our motives may become more and more transparent, and that you might continue to work in us to form Christ in us through your word. We ask these things with thankful hearts. Amen.